It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
You can't complain about traffic privately. That's what we have to share with the world.
Traffic?
You were talking about on the way here.
I know, but...
The trouble. And I'm like, no. The world deserves to know about this. This is not something to be kept.
Well, I didn't know if a train was going through or...
No, Iowa City drivers suck. They're very bad.
Well, here's the thing. If you're at an intersection, right?
Okay, I'm picturing I'm in, like, am I pulled up just, or am I in the middle?
Just picture an intersection.
I'm picturing an intersection.
All right. Now, one cross-section of the intersection is blocked somewhere down the road, so that's what's backed up. The other cross-section is not having any problem, and the traffic should flow.
Okay, one direction is backed up, the other direction, no.
That's right. All now, right. What you don't let
What
happen,
is it backed up with?
It doesn't really matter.
Crates, okay. Crates full of pigs.
What you don't do, if you're someone driving on the congested section...
In the pig lane.
You don't line up so that whatever's blocking your road ends up blocking the other road too, because all of, you know, everyone on that road's all backed up. You see what I'm trying to say?
How do you do that?
Well, as you approach the intersection, you can see across the intersection and beyond in the road that you want to go in that it's
crates
all backed
full
up.
Of pigs, yes.
So you wait.
I'm waiting.
Even if the light changes, you wait so that people going the other direction.
Oh,
in
this
front
is
of you.
The non-asshole person. Sorry, I was putting myself in the role of the... Because I said, how do you do that? And I thought we were going to describe how you do... So you pull out into the intersection where you're stuck because of the crates full of pigs, and now people can't go the other way.
Yeah, now you've got traffic backed up two ways instead of just one way.
Fuck those guys. I'm now imagining them exploding.
Now, that was bad enough. But you could think, all right, maybe they... We're caught unaware by this. You know?
I have been that guy occasionally where
and,
I missed
and so you, there all you right. are in the middle of the intersection so, and you feel bad about it or whatever.
Yes.
Now, we all sat there, those of us going the other direction, sat through three lights, couldn't go, couldn't
Nothing.
Do anything.
Yes.
Traffic's backing up now in two different directions.
Is this at Muscatine and First?
Yeah.
Almost certainly a train.
And
anyway, go.
So then something happens and the cars start to clear out of the intersection.
Ooh, miracle. Yes.
So you think, okay, those people were just caught there accidentally. I'm not going to blame them.
Fucker behind him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He just pulled right in.
He's like, no. I've been waiting for three lights. I'm going
now. Yeah, yeah. And not, it wasn't that they weren't paying attention because,
no.
because there were cars that were trying to turn right.
Yeah.
That they sped up to stop
Yeah, no,
from
they were paying
right.
too much attention.
Yeah.
They were focused.
They were definitely not going to let anybody going,
dude,
you
do
know,
you realize
the other
how long they've been waiting? You do. Because you've been there.
Yeah, but...
Waiting.
Everyone's
also,
been waiting. That's the whole
what,
point.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
And there's no... What do you gain by pulling 10 feet into the intersection? You know...
Progress.
You, not really.
10 feet.
10 feet and you sit.
Progress.
And you make everybody else sit who's going the complete other direction.
But here's the thing. Jesus, Ezzy. God. I'm going to... This whole part of my leg has to be replaced now.
He's referring to the part between his ankle and his knee.
Yes, it has to be replaced because Ezzy just turned it into a shredded pile of meat by doing a couple of 360s on my shin for no reason.
But what's the thought process going on there?
I mean, the thought process is I'm the only person that's real here. Everybody else are obstacles.
But 10 feet?
Yes,
20 feet
progress.
Even.
Even if I can move a little bit, I feel like I'm getting somewhere.
It's ridiculous.
And I don't care about the rest of y'all.
I mean, it's not even
That's what
it so
it
much...
Becomes. It becomes, I don't care about the rest of you guys. So how soon you can move or not doesn't matter. There's space for me to move, I'm going.
But it's not an issue of other people moving. It's an issue of why block traffic just so you can sit 20 feet in one direction
as opposed to the other? Because I'm not paying attention to the other people.
But they are paying attention because they're deliberately cutting people off to sit there.
Those are obstacles. Those aren't people. I'm paying attention to the cars in my way.
I don't understand.
Yeah, no. Picture the same exact situation, but there are no cars going the other direction, and in fact, for reasons unknown, there's never going to be any traffic going the other way. Essentially, it's not even an intersection. It's a road in one direction. You're going to pull up when the car in front of you goes up.
Sure.
That's this person's worldview.
Right, but they are noticing there are people coming in the direction because they're deliberately driving in front of them to stop them.
It's the same story, but at the time when that person pulls up, there's a very slow rock slide coming.
You know what's going on here? Because this is what I'm realizing only very recently in my life, and I realize this is sad and pathetic. This is true, but it is.
Mm.
I'm realizing how much status is involved in the way a lot of people think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because I'm being glib here. Obviously, they aren't unaware that there are living people in those cars. But it is an issue of I am of such more significance and importance than you that you might as well not be people in those cars.
Or maybe it's more accurate to say, I'm not going to let you think you're more important than me. I mean, there's so much... this is literally something that's only occurred to me very recently. I mean, as I'm sure our listeners will believe, because you and I have had conversations like this, and I've been completely baffled by this for a long time. And it's not that I don't understand status in human relationships or whatever. I mean, that's a part of human life. But this notion that, in our culture, status is the most important thing. True. Status is the most important thing. And people are trained in our culture to constantly be evaluating their standing in the pecking order next to whoever else happens to be around them.
Yes.
And
because it's essentially the economic basis as well. Our modified version of capitalism is essentially that same thing.
And everything that a person says or does in your presence or in relation to you, you evaluate as a communication of status.
Yes.
Either they're communicating they're better than you or they're communicating deference to the fact that you're better than them.
Yes.
But what that means is when you have people such as myself who is not communicating anything like that, but it doesn't matter because that's how people are going to read what I'm communicating.
Absolutely.
And so
what you're being
communicated
still goes through that filter.
Right. So they respond to me as if I'm communicating status when I'm not.
Yes.
And to me, it is completely unintelligible. I don't understand it at all.
But here's the good news. Now that your eyes have been opened to the horror that is out there, now we get to pull you back. It was some tough love. We had to get you there. Now you see the world is basically a giant cesspit.
No, not the world.
This society, basically
our culture
giant
is.
Cesspool. Anyway, the good news is not everybody is like that. And a not insignificant number of people are not like that.
No, that's true. I know that's true.
And so that helps. And I want to bring this up just because it pertains here. One of the easiest times in the world to lose your temper and to get frustrated is driving.
Mm-hmm.
So much. I saw somebody use it as an example in a book one time, and I was like, oh my God, that's true. And it was such a simple lesson they gave there that I sort of adjusted specifically for driving and made a huge difference. When I'm driving and somebody does something that screws me over, that pisses me off, that seems really stupid, I ask myself, has there ever been a time when I did that, or essentially that, and what was going on?
Mm.
99.99% of the time, there was a time when I did that, and the reasons were very... Oh, I totally missed it, and I felt really terrible afterwards.
Sure.
Or I was in a really bad mood that day, like something terrible had happened. Or I was in a serious... Like, there's lots of reasons, and I'm like, okay, so they could be in that too, and I'm fine. Every once in a while, there's one where I'm like, no, never happened, never would, fuck you guys. But it's a really great attitude, and I have found my driving is like... I'm much less stressed out by driving than I used to be. And it's just amazing how much stress came from driving that I didn't realize until I sort of put this into practice. Because I used to be like the other people, you sort of yell at them in your car because they can't hear you and it relieves the stress or whatever. No, try it the other way. It's pretty nice. Now that we're 10 minutes in, hello and welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast broadcast exclusively via telepathic waves. So if you're hearing this right now, congratulations, you have psychic powers. Well, okay, you have psychic power telepathy. Congratulations.
Wow, that didn't occur to me. People don't realize that our lips aren't moving.
No, because it's audio.
Yeah.
They don't realize that our lips aren't moving.
I didn't think of that before.
God damn it, that might have been the best joke you've told on this show. Which is sad in its own right, but still.
Shut up.
All right. So welcome. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 149.
And so we're here now, and I should tell you about the show. If you're brand new and you sat through the first 10 minutes, you're a little scary, and you should think that through. But anyway, we have a hat. It's magical. It has its own email address that it can check on its own. That email address is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. I'm telling you this because you should know this, because our listeners email that email address. They send emails to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com.
That's right. Now, you have to send the email. You can't just think about the email.
No, the email is a real thing.
Yeah, we can think about it,
yes,
and you'll hear it,
but
you have to actually write the email.
The magicaltalkinghat@gmail.com is the email address for the Magical Talking Hat, and the Magical Talking Hat, which is an actual hat that is actually magic, checks that email on its own and magically transmogrifies those emails into actual physical note cards with the email written on them that manifest within the hat all on its own. It's magic. We reach our hands into the hat, pray we're going to come out with as many fingers as we went in with, draw out a note card, read it on air, talk about it till we're bored, do that for an hour. That's the whole show.
There's always a card in there.
There's always.
No matter how many times we stick our hand in there, there's a card.
It's magic.
It shows up magically. We read it. We don't know what it's going to say.
I feel
until
like
we pull it out of the hat.
I'm surprised at how awed you still are by this, because once you establish something as magic, it shouldn't be that, like, you shouldn't be surprised anymore. You're like, it's magic. How does that card get? It's magic. We said it's magic. Like, you reach in there, pull out a puppy. Shouldn't be any more exciting. It's magic.
That's true.
You might be like, huh, that's a new kind of magic.
That's
but
true
still.
If you're treating its magic simply as an explanation.
I am.
Well, I'm not. I'm treating its magic as
an
expression of wonderment.
Arthur C. Clarke shit where you actually think that the hat has technology so advanced that it is indistinguishable?
No. I'm one of those people. It's just like science, for example. Just because you've explained something to me scientifically, I mean, that makes it more interesting and more miraculous and more wonderful to me than...
Here's the thing. I'm not critiquing your enthusiasm. I'm critiquing what I believe is a distinct, continual, underlying tone of disbelief. You're all just like, ah, what?
That's not disbelief, it's wonder. Wonder.
I feel different sounds. Wonder is like, ooh. You're like, what? Every time. And I'm like, because it's magic.
No, it's wonder. Trust me.
All right.
It's not surprise, because it always happens.
All right.
It's wonder.
We'll be prepared for a shock. William, how was your week?
Well, the Briar Rose Project is progressing. We've had some people send some more stuff. David.
I'm going to make an effort to do it this weekend, so probably... 25% chance it'll happen.
Dave Avid sent his, which was cool, and his wife Robin sent hers. There are three witches in the play, and she's the second one, and she sent three different treatments of it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to do that with mine, actually.
Oh, okay, well, that's cool.
I've got a couple ideas for regard to. I still feel a little weird about crazy 49er gold panhandler guard. But he's fun at the same time, so okay. I'm going to try a couple versions of that. And then Frog, I'm still not comfortable with where that is, so I may try a couple different.
Well, the thing about that is, it was cool that she did that, and of course her performances are great. She's really good,
and it's crazy because she has a really fucking huge part beyond that.
And Dave Avid he's really good at this too.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know if he's done this before, but he's really good at it. But the thing is,
Dave. So what probably happened is he did like 14 versions of it, and then
but
only sent you
what I'm gonna probably do is I'm probably not gonna pick which version I like until I cut it together, because one might sound better all cut together.
I would assume.
But something I want to talk about. Did you see the latest episode of Almost Human?
I don't believe the latest. The last one we saw was the power shortage episode with the bomb callers.
Okay. No, that's not the latest one.
All right. No.
Okay. Well, anyway, I won't, of course, say anything about it. But did I talk on this show about how I thought... Remember they had the pilot episode on a Sunday, and then they
And then they've next episode on Monday, yes.
And Monday's their usual time.
Yes.
Okay. And did I talk on this podcast about how I felt like that was not really the second episode, like the marketers decided, you know, for the second episode we needed to have something
I don't believe you did, but I've seen that issue before, so
well,
that makes sense.
when I first watched it, and maybe I talked about this on Screenshots, I thought that the second episode, it looked like it was out of order. It looked like, and there were sex bots in it and stuff, so I thought,
yeah.
You know what they did? They said, this pilot is okay, but let's take the racy, sexy show and let's put that second, so that'll bring in viewers. And I really felt like that's what happened, because there was something not quite right about it.
Mm.
And the last Almost Human, I am certain, is the real
is
second
the actual
show.
Second episode?
Now, here are some other things. Aside from the fact when you see it, you'll see what I mean plot-wise, but there are other things about the show that's been bothering me, and now I think I know what the explanation is. Some of the shows have strange editing issues. You know, when you're watching a show, TV show, sometimes when one character is talking, you see the reactions of the other characters, so you don't see the character actually. Now, sometimes when that happens, it's just an editing choice. Sometimes you can kind of tell that the reason you're not seeing this character say this line is because they've changed the line.
Yes. Especially if, as when we watch Almost Human, you have the captions on and nobody told the captioner. Almost Human, every episode, at least three times, we get a line that's not what's on the screen, or that, like, there's silence on the screen, but there's a line in the captions. Stuff like that. It happens a lot on Almost Human.
Really?
Yes.
See, because I just noticed that, and you do notice with a lot of shows, that when the sound quality of the audio just sounds a little different, so you can tell they dubbed that in or something.
Yes, when it's like an ADR or something.
Yeah, you're not going to... I mean, they do it in Star Wars, actually. When Han Solo's reaching for his blaster, they put a line in about, you know, even I get boarded sometimes. And
yeah.
And in the updated version of Star Wars where he's actually talking to Jabba the Hutt, you see where he actually says that
line. Yeah.
So you hear this in TV shows a lot, and Almost Human has been doing it a lot. And sometimes, in the show before this last one, there was even, it got really awkward because there was a conversation between John and Dorian where they were in the car talking to each other, and almost the entire conversation was the person was talking while the camera was on the other person, which is really awkward. You'd never deliberately edit together a scene like that. So you know that there must have been some lines wrong or something, and
that's the big thing that's going to screw up showing the episodes of that show out of order are their relationship, because their relationship changes drastically from episode to episode.
But also the captain, who's played by
Tyler, I think,
whatever,
it's Tyler.
However, for several episodes, whenever she said key things to the guys or whatever, the camera was never on her. And it was really awkward.
Seriously, watch it with the captions, because that show is a really bad offender for that.
Well, for a long time, I couldn't figure out why their editing was so bad, but now I think I've got it figured out.
Yeah.
The shows are out of order, and they have to change all the lines around. So I'm certain that the last show was actually the second
one. Well, the second to last show had a major shift in the logistics of the show, so that should be evident. I don't want to spoil anything, but...
Yeah, if you watch it, you'll know what I mean.
Okay.
I'm certain that the shows are out of order, and it's not just affected the two shows they've swapped. It's affected some of the other shows in the way they edited
it. It's still not that good of a show. I haven't given up on it yet, but it's still not that good.
Well, I liked this last one. Actually, I liked the one before that, too.
I liked the one before it some.
here's the thing.
I actually really liked the most recent episode of Elementary, but that's a whole other issue.
Here's the thing. It's speculative fiction, and there's just not a lot of that on TV.
No,
right now.
Which is why I'm supporting it, but yeah. It's not that good as speculative
fiction. I know.
Fiction.
I wish it was better, but...
Yeah, but that's why I'm sticking with it, because I'm like, it fills a niche that nobody's got right now.
And some of the speculative fiction parts of it are kind of cool.
They can be.
Yeah. Or at least they're interesting.
They're really clunky.
Yes, but at least they're interesting. At least they're provocative.
I discovered the other day watching... Some channel finally got syndication of Leverage, and they were showing it from the beginning, and it was like a weekend day, so I watched like 3 or 4 of the first episodes. That show started good, which doesn't happen a lot. Like, from the first episode, they had their characters, mm-hmm. which usually it takes a while, even like up to a season, to sort of get into the vibe. No, I could see the beginnings of those relationships in that first episode. I hold up that show. And it had its ups and downs, and the second season was crap compared to the rest of it. But that show was a good show that lasted the right amount of time and ended well. And, yeah, I got to give Leverage a lot of credit.
What about your week?
Oh, I'm dying.
You're dying?
I don't know. My back issues have skyrocketed out of control.
Oh.
So, but hopefully I'll be getting to the doctor soon. I've got an appointment, but it's a little ways out, so I'm making do at the moment. I saw 3 movies.
Wow.
This week.
3 movies.
Yes. I saw 3 movies. Would you like them in chronological order of viewing, chronological order of production, or ascending or descending order of my approval of them?
I would like them in whatever order is going to be most entertaining.
Ooh, that's a tough call.
Well, do you think it would be more entertaining to get more enthusiastic and interested and excited about the movie as you go, or would it be more entertaining to be panning more?
That's the thing, I get enthusiastic for different stuff. Okay, well, I'm going to start with Despicable Me 2.
Oh, we saw that also.
Which was the first one I saw this week.
Yeah, we saw that.
And also,
just recently,
the
just
one
recently.
I have sort of the least to say about. To give you your take, what was your take of the first one?
Well, if you recall, I was on vacation when I saw the first one with the other adult in the house. And we went to a theater where we were the only people in there, except for a couple rows back, a whole row full of teenage girls. And so as you're watching the film, there are certain... precious parts. And
yes.
Whenever those came up, all the girls in the room went, "Oh!" And you would think that would be annoying, but it actually made the
really
film
enhanced.
A lot more
fun.
Because
it is really schmaltzy in a lot of ways.
I mean to say we liked it.
We liked it a lot. We wanted to own it. We do own it. It holds up to repeated viewings really well.
Okay, see, I haven't seen it.
I've seen it
that just
several
time.
Times.
Okay.
It holds up really well. I really like it. It's a good movie. It is a kid's movie. It's not quite a Pixar movie in terms of its dual levels, but I recommend it to adults as well. But you have to go in going like, this is a kid's movie, and you can enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
More than your average Disney kid's movie. Really like it. Found the sequel to be a commendable sequel. I enjoyed it. It's fun. We laughed. It's not as good as the first. It doesn't need to exist. The first movie, totally fine on its own. We didn't have any big cliffhangers or shit like that. But given that the market's going to demand a sequel, it was good. Yeah, sure.
And Oscar nominated.
Yeah.
What part of it was nominated for an Oscar?
Oh, animated film.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. There's a good crop in the animated film, and I've seen a lot of them this time. I don't think it's going to win shit.
For animation, I guess it was well put together, but my opinion of the second film was, like, yeah, it wasn't bad.
I enjoyed my time.
I mean, if you...
We're not going to bother to own this one, I don't think.
Yeah, if you're a real fan of the characters and whatever, you'll probably like it, but I...
It felt constructed. The first one had a lightning in the bottle thing. This felt like... We're giving you the stuff we think you liked from the first one.
Yeah.
And they are, but it feels kind of artificial in a way. And it was fun. I totally enjoyed seeing it. I'm not sorry I saw it. I'm not sorry I paid money to see it. Anybody who enjoyed the first, I would recommend go ahead and see it. It's not a waste of your time.
Especially if you're a huge fan, but you'll probably like it.
But if you miss it, it's fine. And I don't feel the need to see it repeatedly or own it or anything like the first one. The first one was something.
I like Megamind a lot. Do you like Megamind?
I like Megamind. I saw Megamind later, but you know what I saw that really surprised me? Because they marketed it. It's another one. They marketed it really badly. See the Croods?
We saw that real recently also.
That was, and I didn't see the whole thing. I have to admit, it was during Christmas and I left the room for a while and stuff. What I saw, and I'm not going to say I loved it or I need to see it again, way better than I thought it was. Based on the marketing, I had no interest in that film. And it's kind of clever in places.
We didn't really like it, but...
It's much more kids-based.
And it wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in a world where something could very easily be terrible.
Oh, yeah.
And if something is just not terrible, that's an accomplishment.
Well, especially when it's a kid's movie and you're a grown-up. Like, that means a lot. Okay, but I need to get to the other two because these are bigger deals.
Okay, okay.
I guess I'm going to go in chronological order here. Saw a movie I was very excited to see, very looking forward to see, American Hustle.
I've only heard about that. I don't even know what it's about.
It's basically, well, you know how things get inspired by true stories and stuff like that?
Okay.
This movie starts off, as soon as it starts, across the screen it says, some of this actually happened. And that's it. And I was like, that's kind of refreshing.
That's accurate.
From what I know, which is not a lot, I didn't do a lot of researching or anything, it's essentially a dramatization of the first big kerfuffle that began the FBI's attempts to start looking into dealing with white-collar crime. Mm-hmm. And specifically, it involved a particularly ambitious and kind of nuts FBI agent busting a couple of con artists and saying, you can go to jail, or you teach me how to con, we'll con some people, and then you're off the hook. We'll con dirty people. Like, we'll catch people in cons. And this will all be learning on the job, essentially, as we bust some crooked, you know, people and stuff. Everybody's fucking in this movie.
Why are they doing that? Is it a porno?
And then hijinks ensue because they end up getting big people involved.
Seriously, who's in it? Something.
I'm getting to that. I was still telling you things.
Okay.
So
you want me to ask questions? You don't want me to ask questions?
I want you to ask questions. Appropriate pauses. Anyway, the main three in it are Amy Adams, Christian Bale, Bradley Cooper. Quick fourth in it is Jennifer Lawrence. Another major player in it is Jeremy Renner is in it. There's a lot of smaller names. Elizabeth Rome is in it. I'm trying to think who else was there. There's a few more hiding in there. But it's huge, you know. Got 7 Golden Globe nominations. Don't know how many it won.
Yeah.
It's Oscar for Best Picture nominated, all that stuff. Very disappointed.
Really?
Very disappointed. To some people, it's still going to be worth watching. I enjoyed watching it. Because it's the thing, it's another one of those where there's very clearly defined lines of what's good and bad about it. Unfortunately, what's bad has largely to do with the writing and the directing.
Jeez.
It is, essentially, or at least it should be, a con movie. Love con movies. Me and the wife love con movies.
Yeah, that's...
It's a shitty con movie.
Really?
The con, well, I'll explain. You have the bits where the narration is explained. You know, they're sort of tropes now to con movies, how you explain. They do those. They do them really nebulously in ways that I'm never exactly sure what the con is, what the stakes are, or why I should care. Near the end, you have reveals of stuff and things, but it's mostly just the reveal of shit that happened in like the last 20 minutes that was, and it's like a 2-hour plus movie. And the rest of it, I'm like, okay, so we're going to talk to bad guys about stuff and it's a trick.
Okay, well, what's so great about this film then?
I haven't finished with the bad stuff yet. Also, they spend a lot of time on the various romantic entanglements, which are in several directions. And I don't give a fuck. And they're really their standard movie romance, and that it's like people being dicks and making bad decisions. And so it's like, none of you deserve happiness. And even if you did, you're too stupid to do it right. Like, I'm pissed off at all of you. You should all break up and go live alone, something. I don't know. Anyway, so the romance angle I didn't give a fuck about. There are the two very strong points on it. One is the acting. The acting's amazing. This is the final nail in the coffin to me that Jennifer Lawrence can just fucking play anything. This is a role unlike I have ever even heard of her doing before, and she nails it.
Yeah, she's good.
She's got ridiculous range and flexibility, and this is really a big jump out from anything I've ever heard of her doing before, and it's amazing. Everybody performs really well. A lot of people gained a lot of weight for this, to the degree that I didn't recognize Jeremy Renner until the end credits. And I was like, oh, that's who that was. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't prosthetic because of the way it was. If it was, it was really good makeup effects, but I think he just gained a lot of weight. And this is weird, and this is where, this is the tipping point for whether or not people should see it. And this is a specific thing to me, and not everybody's going to want this. They really nail the 70s. It doesn't feel like a parody. In some ways, it really feels like it's in the 70s. Like, essentially, it's a period piece, and they nailed the period really well. And I found that just amazing. The look, the style, the communication, the general atmosphere is so... The movie made me want to watch All the President's Men again. I mean, it's just so... They really nailed this sort of 70s vibe just in every detail, and I really enjoyed that, personally, as just sort of an atmosphere to wash over me. So yeah, I recommend it for those. So it's fun to watch, but it's a shitty con movie, and it makes me feel really bad because it's David O. Russell, and I love him, but he didn't do so good here. But everybody else loves it, so maybe I'm just an asshole. Anyway, then the other movie saw last night at Iowa City's new film place downtown.
Oh, I didn't know
Iowa
it was
City
open.
Film Scene.
Yeah,
yes,
I didn't know it was open.
Yes, they're doing a bunch of documentaries this month. Saw a documentary called "The Stories We Tell."
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Recommend it to everyone.
What's it about?
It gets tricky. This is a movie where going into it with little knowledge is the way to go.
Oh.
But here's what I think I can safely say.
All right.
Because I read the blurb about what the movie was about, and that was pretty safe. It's a documentary done by Sarah Pauly, who is a filmmaker who's been around for a while. We know her because she made Away From Her, which was a wonderful, heart-wrenching film. Focusing on a man, an older man, whose wife is diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And it's mostly about him having to deal with that. And it's a wonderful film. Just rips you to shreds emotionally. I never want to see it again, but it was a phenomenal film. And that was her first film, and she was quite young. But anyway, this is a documentary about her family. And she basically took every member of her family and some, like, close friends of the family and stuff, and individually got them on camera and had them tell the story of their family. There's sort of a specific run of a story involving their mother and some things that happened and some secrets that she kept and stuff. And that's as much as I want to say. But there is sort of a through-line story within the family, and she had different people all tell the story, and it's edited together. And it's supposed to mostly be looking at how people living through the same thing remember it differently,
mm-hmm.
and tell it differently and mm-hmm. things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating, and it's quite amusing in places. It's quite emotional in places. It can easily make you cry. The producer isn't sure she ever wants to see it because it took kind of an emotional toll. I mean, she also really liked it. I think I could watch it repeatedly, but it's very good, and I highly recommend it. And it's really good as a piece of film craft, too, in ways that I don't want to discuss with somebody who hasn't seen it. But I highly recommend it to pretty much everybody everywhere. Like, It's, I mean, I guess if you're one of those people who's like, I just like to watch cool movies where people kick ass, yeah, it's not for you. But if the fact that it's a documentary doesn't scare you away, totally see it. It's very good. We were very disappointed when the nominations came out today and it was not on the list for Best Documentary.
Well, you know, in our family, I mean, there's... We tell a lot of stories in our family, nothing that would matter to anybody else, but yes. It wouldn't make a very good documentary or anything. But we do all tell the stories differently. You know, this is something I've noticed, you know, ever since I left home, is something, the way I remember something is very different than the way someone else remembers it.
Yeah.
The way I perceive a family member is very different than the way someone else perceives them for a variety of reasons.
And in this movie, there are even times where she's edited it such that for comedic effect, like somebody will ask a question and a person will answer in a very sort of definitive way, cut to a different person answering in like the exact opposite way. Yeah. There were some more subtle things that I found fascinating, but there are a few that were clearly done sort of as jokes where he'd say like, yes, yes, that was definitely cut to other person. No, it was nothing like but yeah, wonderful, wonderful. And I felt terrible because... It was very busy, very full theater, almost sold out. So it's very warm. They sell beer and wine at this, and there was a very strong smell of beer in the room. And there's a great deal of, like, old home movie footage, which was both grainy and kind of shaky. And the combination meant that I spent the entire movie really nauseated. And as soon as... Like tears streaming down my face just from the nausea, and also because I was very tired, and so I was yawning and stuff. And all Trish sees is I keep moving around and like taking my glasses off and wiping tears off my face. And then as soon as the credits hit, I head for the door, and I sit down outside. And she comes out, and I'm like, I don't want you to think I didn't like it, because she picked it. I'm like, I really liked that. I just was about to throw up. But no, I highly recommend it to everybody. So see that. The Stories We Tell, or possibly just Stories We Tell. I'm not sure which. But you can get there from there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about it. Work has been crazy busy. My back has been a mess. About to have a 3-day weekend. My birthday is on Tuesday.
That's right. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Because I probably won't talk to you before then.
No, I don't know that we're going to do a lot. I think we're still going to game that night, although one of our players won't be there, so we're going to be playing Simo Viswat.
What?
Southeast Missouri Voluntary SWAT.
Oh.
Didn't I talk about this?
I don't think so.
It's the game I invented for when we don't have everybody there.
Okay.
The premise is the town of... Is it Poplar Bluff? I don't know. It's some town in East Missouri. There's not enough population for an actual SWAT team. So they developed, not unlike a volunteer fire department, they have a volunteer SWAT team.
Mm-hmm.
And you take shifts being in the SWAT team. Just volunteers from the community.
Mm-hmm.
Being in the special weapons and tactics.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just created a bunch of characters. And I keep making more. And my players just pick somebody to play that night, and hijinks ensue.
Mm.
This last one involved them mistakenly getting sent to investigate a theft, even though they're a SWAT team. And it involved a guy who was basically training animals to carry explosives on them.
What do you call it again?
Simo Viswat. Southeast Missouri Voluntary SWAT.
Isn't Kirksville, Missouri, down there?
It's not quite that far.
Southeast Missouri State University was in Kirksville, wasn't it?
No, Northeast Missouri State University was in Kirksville. Oh. That is now Truman. Yeah, now it's called Truman University.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah. No, that's where I got the idea, because there's Nemo. Yeah, they used to call it Nemo, Northeast. And they used to call it...
Northeast Missouri.
Yeah, this is Southeast Missouri Voluntary SWAT. And they really enjoyed it last time, and they were playing a character, the disgraced police officer... the local horse trader, and the local Catholic school PE teacher who's actually a Russian mafia enforcer in the witness protection program.
Oh.
And it ended with them busting into a mobile home where a guy was frantically trying to tie rocket launchers to a horse.
Wait, the horse was in... Did you say a trailer?
Yeah, in a mobile home.
Huh? How did he get the horse in the mobile home?
Nobody has any idea. They just buzzed it in, and that's where he was. And this was after they had quite an elaborate fight with rats with sticks of dynamite attached to their backs.
Mm.
That they almost didn't win. The rats gave them good four.
Hey, rats.
Yeah. It was pretty hilarious. I
mean, when you really think about it, if you're going to use animals with incendiary devices strapped to them, rats are really the
most logical choice. It was pretty crazy. Some people got hit in the blast. Some person almost got knocked down by a tree.
Sure. Like,
it was crazy. But yes, it ended with the the guy trying to tie rocket launchers to a horse
rats,
while they broke in.
Not penguins.
No, it's Southeast Missouri.
Penguins are bad to use for that particular thing.
Danny DeVito proved that to us.
I mean, I know it's Southeast Missouri, but maybe they have a zoo.
A zoo, yeah. That could come up.
Like Gotham City.
If he comes back. If he comes back.
Penguins, no. Rats? Yes. Yes.
Well, it's fun because it was autumn and there were leaves on the ground, so they just saw like rustles in the leaves and then one went boom.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty cool.
Very clever.
I was very pleased. And they enjoyed themselves. It's just a super silly game that we play that I just invented because I got really tired of us missing gaming like every time somebody couldn't be there. So now, unless we miss multiple people or we miss the people who actually have the house where we game, we can always game. So we're going to game on my birthday. Anyway, hat. Because we don't have a lot of time left.
Well, I hope you have fun on your birthday.
I hope so. We're going to actually do like a birthday celebration thing Sunday night. We're going to go out for sushi. I'm excited about that.
This one's digested, it looks like.
Bleh.
And it's
I thought I was going to sneeze and I didn't.
It's from Azure Talon.
Wait, is it from Azure Talon?
Yes.
Or is it from Azure Talon?
That other one.
Okay.
Dear dissonant and confused forced voices of the magical talking hat. What's with the angry pixelated faces on I-80 eastbound leaving Iowa City? I don't know what he's talking about. Do you?
I think so.
Well, what
for
is
those
it?
Of you from far away, I-80 is the
interstate
near here that goes east-west. And if you leave...
It actually goes from New Jersey to San Francisco?
New Jersey, wow.
Well, it technically stops at one of the bridges between New Jersey and New York, Washington Bridge maybe, but that it goes from there, clear through the country and through Iowa, one of the states it goes through, and then it goes to San Francisco.
All right. Anyway, if you leave from Iowa City, really any of the Iowa City exits, and head east, shortly afterwards, you will encounter on the right-hand side, in sort of the ditch of the freeway, an art project.
Really?
Of sorts. Yes.
Huh.
What it is three fairly large face portraits, I don't know if it's made out of like blocks, and I don't know if the blocks are pictures of something else smaller. I don't know, but they're essentially they look like pixelated faces. And there's three of them,
like framed portraits, or
no, just like faces hanging up in the air,
hanging like from what?
They're like two posts that go down from
each
one.
Okay.
They're like face shaped billboards.
But they're pixelated?
Well, the whole picture is done with tiles, essentially. I mean,
like
I think
mosaic,
they're wood or whatever. Yeah, it's a mosaic. Exactly. It's a mosaic.
Yeah.
Picture. Yes. And I don't know if the individual tiles in the mosaic are smaller pictures or something. I don't think so.
But mosaics, especially from a distance, aren't supposed to look pixelated. That's the idea. They're supposed to look...
Well, these are pretty big tiles.
So there's no distance from
not that I've
they
seen,
look any...
No. You can sort of pick out face and facial expression as you go by
and
when you
look
get closer.
And they look angry?
I don't know they look angry.
Well, as you're telling things they do.
I originally... Here's the thing, and I don't know... Those of you who live in other parts of the country, this might not be a thing. But by and large, in the Midwest, when you're driving on the interstate, and you're not in a city or a town,
which is pretty often.
Yes. You're driving by farms.
Yeah, right.
Nothing but farms.
Mm-hmm.
And those farms, it is not uncommon for people to own those farms.
Yeah.
Well, it's a thing. A lot of them are owned by giant corporations, but some people own some of them.
You mean regular people?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't mean corporation people.
Well, I didn't know what you meant.
Yes.
I mean, they're all owned by people, but...
No, corporations, giant.
But corporations are people, remember? Didn't Mitt Romney teach us that?
Yeah, fuck you. Anyway, and those people sometimes have opinions of a social, political, or religious nature, and or, I should say.
Sure. And they have these little billboards they'll put up.
That's the thing. They use the power of having private property right next to the freeway to put shit up to tell you what to do with your guns or your fetuses or who... Or your women.
Or who to vote for.
Or, yeah, who can jump in a lake rather than be elected to something.
What party you should vote
exactly,
for.
Exactly. Or what God thinks about comes up a lot.
Abortion.
It's various things.
God is
How God votes comes up a lot. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so, partially because of sort of the look of one of the faces, my original thought when I noticed them, which, for the record, was years after I moved here and had gone by there many times. I don't know what the fuck happened. I just didn't notice forever. But my initial reaction was that they were faces of certain political candidates.
Now, wait a minute. How long have they been out there?
Long time. Trish, how long they been out there?
Years, but they weren't there when you first moved here.
Okay. Years.
Well, I mean, I don't know how long it's been since I got on Interstate 80 and headed. It's been since I left Applied Systems, but I didn't see them there whenever I would go to Chicago.
Maybe it hasn't been that many years, but it's been years.
Well, I left Applied Systems in 2006.
It's been multiple years.
A long time.
Okay. The producer's going to look it up and we'll post a picture
on
the blog.
I want to see it too. I've never seen it.
But apparently they're not, or at least upon closer inspection, I can't tell. Because there's no writing.
No, there are.
Yeah, I know that. Art can still have writing.
They're fine art, though. I mean, they don't have a point.
It's fine art.
They're fine art. They don't have
a point.
Oh, my dear Lord. That might be the best quote ever.
Hey, our podcast is fine art.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So.
That's great.
So are nipples on men.
Wow.
Wait. We might be getting a little reductionist here. There could be more aspects to what makes fine art than just not having a point.
I wonder if my whole life is fine art.
Because I went to junior high with a lot of fine art, if that's the... Which sounds really creepy as a sentence, doesn't it? I don't even know why, but that sounds really creepy.
It's kind of comforting, you know, to take a life that has no point and to think, hey,
it's
fine art.
Yes, so you heard it from the producer. Fine art, because it has no point. Anyway, yeah, so it's not a political thing or anything. It's just three faces, which makes
if I break a pencil, it's fine art.
Because
it has no point.
Seriously, when did we as a society decide it was okay for you to talk? Because we need to really rethink that.
I don't think society decided it.
Well, maybe at the next meeting.
The next society.
Of society, yes.
Well, you know, I realize that I'm not invited to any of these meetings.
No.
But sometimes whole states call me on the phone, though.
Entire states?
Yeah. The phone.
This isn't just some bullshit where you know a woman named Georgia or something.
No, the phone will ring. We'll look at the caller ID,
yeah,
and it just says
California.
Kansas.
Yeah.
One time it said Washington, D.C. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah, no, I've had those.
All of Washington, D.C. is calling me. But it's probably because you guys talked about me in some meeting and they got mad.
No, they want to
yell at me.
It's so you can lower your credit card insurance rates.
All right. Well, I don't know why the whole state of Kentucky cares what my credit card rate is.
Oh, they do.
I don't even have a credit card.
They're not prepared for that. I read today on it.
Hey, you
I
know
think
what?
On a not always working, a telemarketer called and said, "Would you like called this woman on her cell phone?" And she answered and said, "Would you like to know how you can save big money on your phone bill?" And she says, "No, thank you. I don't own a phone." And they said, "Oh, okay. Sorry to bother you." And they hung up.
If they call me and say they want to lower the rate on my credit card, and I say I don't have a credit card, and they sound baffled by that, I'll say, "Hey, it's okay. This phone call has no point. It's fine art.
It's fine art.
See? It works for all kinds of situations."
It does. This is our whole worldview has changed. Once again, thanks to the producer.
Yeah.
My worldview changes thanks to the producer a lot. But I don't think they're angry.
I don't know. Maybe they're not
there
faces.
There is something vaguely folky about them. No, they're definitely faces.
Well, maybe someone else can see
drive.
A face. It's fine art.
On your way home tonight, go that way.
No,
check
I'm not
going
to go that way.
You don't have to go that far. Well, a few miles, I suppose. I don't know. I never pay attention
to
how far it
is. That.
But okay, drive to Tipton for fun this weekend.
No.
Yes. This weekend. It's going to be their sales pitch. Because you don't want to go into any more detail than that. Okay, I'm going to pull another one because we got a little bit of time.
Good.
So hopefully it's not anything important. Like that last one. All right. This is from Hard Hat number one, Mark McKibben. Oh, this is interesting.
Well, would you like to share it with the rest of the class?
No, but it is the mandate of the podcast, so I will.
Okay.
If you could have your portrait painted by any artist, living or dead, who would you hire to do it?
The person who did those things out on the highway.
There you go. That you've never seen and just now heard of.
Yeah, just because they're out on the highway, that's all that matters.
No, now the problem being, of course, that regardless of a money thing, I don't think you or I ever would have much interest in having our portrait painted.
No.
I wouldn't, and I don't think it
would.
Absolutely
not.
But let's say it's going to happen.
Like,
okay?
you're elected president, and there you can't get
something.
Out of it.
Yeah, and it's going to, people are going to see it, so you can't be just like, fuck it, do a stick figure. I don't, like, people are going to see it.
Okay.
So, you want a good one.
I guess.
Whatever
that means, I don't even know what a good portrait
is. See, I don't know, like. See, because I'm like, well, who's my favorite portrait artist?
I couldn't even name a portrait artist. Honestly.
I'm not sure I can either. I feel like for my build, Rubens would be the best choice, but because I'm sort of Rubenesque, but
I don't even know what that means.
And then of course there's the joke, he's like, oh, Picasso. So then I have an eyeball over here and another one over there, and you know.
Which would be all an improvement for me.
I've always thought you'd look better if your eyeballs were in different positions.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be fine art. It's essentially pointless. So,
I think I want Bill Watterson to do my portrait. How about that?
The dude from Law and Order?
No.
Wait, that's Sam Watterson.
Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh, good one. Good one. Good one.
That's my choice.
He's
not a portrait artist, but what the heck?
Boris Vallejo to do
mine. Actually, my brother is great at doing portraits, so I could have him do it.
That would be interesting, take an artist like that. Like.
I wouldn't have, to me, my brother is a great portrait artist, every bit as good as someone other people think is celebrated and worth a lot of money or whatever. I mean, see, that's the thing about...
Well, okay, here's a question for you. You're going to have your portrait taken. You're going to have your portrait painted.
Painted, yeah.
And you're going to see it a lot. I'll just say that right now. You're going to see it.
I'm going to see it.
Yes. Prevalently, often. And potentially other people are, too.
It's going to be on buses and stuff?
No.
Oh.
But it's like in your house, and you can't. It's
you wake up and it's there. Why would it be in my house?
Because I said so. Anyway,
I'll put a sheet over it.
No, not allowed.
But it's my house.
There's laws. This is your punishment. You performed a crime, and this is your punishment. Anyway.
Fine.
So it's in my question house. So fuck. What artist is it? What are you hoping for? Are you hoping for something that's cool to look at? Are you hoping for something that really looks like you? Are you hoping for something that shows you something interesting about yourself? Are you hoping for something that's just thought-provoking? Are you hoping for something that is as far from you as possible so you can sort of pretend it's not you? What? What are you looking for in a portrait?
Well, how much it resembles me is probably the least important requirement.
All right.
As far as it being something that looks so much different from me, I don't recognize it in me. I don't have to go quite that far either.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be like that. But, you know, it would have to amuse me. I mean, that's okay. Why I say Bill Watterson, because I just have a feeling that there'd be something, even if he tried to do it kind of straight. I mean, not like a realistic portrait, but not Space Man Spiff,
you were a stuffed animal
or anything
like
that.
Yeah.
I think I would look at it and think, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's a lot of skill in that. And I wouldn't be thinking that so much that it's me. It would just be cool.
Yeah. I feel like certain comic book artists might be the ones I would pick, because I feel like I want something that makes me think of me, but that makes me think about me. Something that invokes introspection. Something that I'm like, huh. That just makes me ponder something about me. And I mean, it could be, what if I looked more like that? What if they painted me in this sort of situation? How would I feel about that?
Also, you know? it could be silly. I mean, it could be me in a situation
absolutely.
That I'm not normally in.
Well, an introspection doesn't have to be deadly serious by any means.
But the more portrait-like it is, you know, realistic or
boring, let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean,
sitting in a chair,
also
looking regal, bullshit. Yeah,
that or sometimes you see pictures of, like, I've seen these portraits of Isaac Asimov where he's sitting at a typewriter and there's all these science fiction-y things around him while he's looking wistfully off into the future. No, that's a little bit too.
Have you with podcasting equipment?
No, that's not, I mean, something that.
You with just a sea of hats?
I don't know if it were something.
That's not a magical talking hat reference, people. That's the fact that he's always fucking wearing a hat.
I don't want it to look like the artist is taking it too seriously.
You as Frankenstein's monster. Oh, God damn it. We don't have time now. Have you seen the trailers for I, Frankenstein?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've seen them.
Here's the thing. That movie is basically Underworld. Who the fuck decided Aaron Eckhart? Who was like, that's who we're going for? Like, I'm very intrigued by that. I'm not saying that's a bad choice. I'm saying, if you describe that movie to me as the trailers have it, and I'm like, okay, I have a sense of it, And by the way, the main character is played by Aaron Eckhart. I go, ooh? Not someone younger or handsomer, or not someone more typically associated with it. Like, it's weird. It's very interesting. Yeah, that's the thing. I think it may be a kind of a smart choice. Within the realm of what you're doing. Because he's older, more mature looking, more... He has that more lantern jaw sort of... He looks stockier, but he's still your leading man kind of bullshit, you know? It's just so fucking weird. Also, why would you say I, Frankenstein? That's weird, too. Anyway, we are out of time, people. So, if you're not entirely keeping up, the gist of this last question was, we both would prefer Aaron Eckhart to paint our portraits. So, with foreword by Bill Nighy.
And we hope you've enjoyed this hour of fine art. What was that? that?
It was a weird, perverted variant on a laugh.
That was a strange sound you made.
How do you think it's going to sound to them telepathically? Anyway, if you'd like to write the hat, then you are correct. Mm. If you wouldn't, think again.
Yeah.
And again, until you do.
Until you do it.
Write that at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, go to the blog and say shit there. People haven't been talking so much on the blog lately. I think we may still be catching up from the holidays. We need more conversation there, people. Themagicaltalkinghat.com. The producer is going to go there and put up a picture of freaky mosaic faces. So
I hope so, because I want to see them and I don't have to drive over there.
So check that shit out.
Just 3 miles east of...
A few thousand acres that way.
A couple thousand.
Couple
thousand acres.
Anyway, we will talk to you people next week.
Yep.
All
right. That's right, next week.
So are we the only fine art podcast? Or do all the others have points? Are your other two fine art? No, they seem to have points.
Well, we try to have a point, so...
Yeah, we don't try.
No.
Not here.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.